Just before 4 o'clock here at KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org. Once again, time for Melting Pot. Here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m., my name is Michael Barnes. I'm your host for this program and have been for the past 3 years. This week, more or less, we are celebrating our 3-year anniversary here at KPFK. And as was the case the first 2 years, what we do is just play you some of the best performances from the past year and also highlight a couple of the great interviews and performances that we had. So in this first hour, around 4:20, we're going to have the interview and performance from King that we just recently broadcast. Play that for you for most of this first hour. And the second hour, pretty much the entire second hour, is going to be taken up by the interview that we did with Shuggie Otis a little bit earlier in the year as well. This first set is going to feature some of the performances, though, and begins with music from a duo which features an American and a British vocal talent. Duo together as Lady Nicole Ray and Terry Walker here performing Get Ready on KPFK and Melting Pot here on our 3-year anniversary.
dando vuelta al ritmo del tambor. Tu alma va comunicando amor. Todo el mundo, ja. Tiani, tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Y Tiani, tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Y Tiani, tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Tiani.
Thank you.
Music at the end of the set, all of it recorded live here at KPFK from Chicano Batman, from a session they did for us here at Melting Pot in July of last year. And that was my wife's favorite song of theirs that they played by request for her. Itil Tiani, the name of the track from Chicano Batman. Also in the set, music from the Hot 8 Brass. Came in all the way from New Orleans back in February of this year, performed Steaming Blues in addition to a couple other tracks, and started the set off of performances from this past year here on Melting Pot with Lady, featuring the vocals of Nicole Ray and Terry Walker. Recorded in April, nice stripped down, soulful performance of Get Ready from their debut self-titled record. In the background is a guest DJ set, a little excerpt of that guest DJ set from Kenny Dope. I'm going to let this play for just a little bit before we get to the interview from King. And also just to remind you, one, that all of these interviews, they're archived on our website, which is meltingpotblog.com. If you missed them the first time around, you can catch them there in the section called Be Our Guest. That's especially worth checking out for the full-length version of the Kenny Dope guest DJ set that's in the background. And that you'll hear a little taste of. It's a whole hour-long set, and he does exactly what you would expect from a true master at work. And also to remind you, you know, we're not fundraising this weekend, but you can always pledge online at kpfk.org. Just do a search for Melting Pot, and you can get some Melting Pot-related stuff. A little bit of this Kenny Dope set for you right now on KPFK, Melting Pot, and our 3-year anniversary show.
Yeah.
Music immortalized by Dilla, but spun by Kenny Dope when he was here at KPFK. And again, the full set, whole hour plus of Kenny Dope doing his thing is archived at meltingpotblog.com. As is the following performance and interview that I'm going to replay for you just about in its entirety. There's a little bit we had to edit just to fit everything in, but all the songs are in here. This is an interview and performance that we did with the Los Angeles group King just a little while ago in April. One of the best ones that we've done on this show so far. And so it's certainly my pleasure to replay this for you right now on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot here on our 3-year anniversary. The interview and performance from King from April of this year. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot. And today it is my distinct pleasure to welcome in King here into our studios. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I am extremely excited to have you guys here. You're going to perform some songs. We're also going to get a chance to talk for a little bit. Just an amazing kind of rising star here in Los Angeles for you guys. And we're going to start off just throwing it to you for a couple songs. So here is King right now on 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, KPFK.
Oh, stars. Now here you are, shining through the sky, light in my dark. Even stars burn out, but you held the spark. Now here you are, to stay. Stars, that's where you are, shining through the sky, light in my dark. Oh, even stars burn out, but you held the spark. Now here you are, to stay.
You just heard music from King right here at KPFK in Melting Pot. And I just want to thank you again, all of you, for coming in once again to the show. Like a lot of people, kind of the first moment I heard you, it was like big time love, like immediately, like, oh my God, I love this band. I love this sound. And that kind of reaction seems like it's happened to quite a lot of people. For those who haven't heard of you, since you are a brand new band, could you tell us a little bit about the story of King, especially maybe starting with Paris and Amber as sisters growing up? You know, did you come from a musical family?
Yes, our background is somewhat musical. Our father is a musician. He loves music. It's just a hobby of his. Mm-hmm. And we have like an uncle and, you know, everyone's into music. You know, from our cousins, our older cousins, you know how we all have those older cousins that introduce us and put us on to, like, you know, Songs in the Key of Life or, you know, Al Green and, you know, but same with Anita. I think we all come from, you know, music appreciators.
And you guys grew up in the Minneapolis area?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little bit about how growing up in that particular area and with, you know, some very distinct sounds that have come out of that area, how that might have influenced you coming up?
Definitely. I feel like, you know, all of the musicians that you look up to in Minneapolis, it's not a really small town, but, you know, I always felt like we were one step kind of removed from people who knew, like, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Hmm. So I think in that light, yes. But, I mean, just like, you know, across the world, you know, they inspired so many people, all those musicians that came out of Minneapolis. So I think, you know, it's just, it kind of hit us hard, but the same way it probably would have, you know, touched Anita hearing, you know, Janet Jackson with that type of production, or Prince and so forth.
Hmm. And had you guys always had, you know, when you were, you know, younger, did you have kind of plans for making music? Did you think you were going to be musicians?
I would say I knew. I started playing piano when I was around 2, and Amber and I always hung out together and would write just for fun and, you know, make music just, you know, on the side. But I think that I always knew that I was going to be doing something in music.
What about you, Amber?
No, not necessarily. I always felt a connection when parents would come home from school and we would kind of just catch up and write together a little bit, but nothing was too serious. I never, you know, thought it would be on this scale, but I knew I loved working with her.
Now, how did Anita, how did you come into the mix with the two of them?
Well, I met Paris briefly at a rehearsal in Boston at Berklee College of Music. And she moved back out, or when she graduated, she moved to California, and we just kind of ran into each other at a jam session and started hanging out, and became friends.
When you guys were both at Berklee, were you already kind of messing around with what kind of the sound of King would be, or were you kind of pursuing different kinds of music?
For me, it was, you know, very writing heavy and composition heavy. I was doing a major called Contemporary Writing Production. So it was a lot of writing to visuals, film scoring, and, you know, commercial scoring and stuff like that. But I was definitely working on other projects with other friends, but King wasn't even a thought in my mind. I never knew that King was going to happen until King had happened. So I do feel like all of those different musical situations were priming me for this. I just didn't know this was going to happen.
So how did King happen?
Well, like Anita said, after she came, or I came out to Los Angeles and we met at the jam session, she and I kind of started hanging out a bit. Amber came to visit for our birthday, and we were all just really sitting in the room. The energy was really great. We started writing together, playing together a little bit, and it just kept building to the point where we had songs before we were a band. You know, we were kind of getting a set together. We didn't have a band name or anything. We just knew that we liked to write and make music together.
How would you describe this sound that you guys have put together here, the sound of King?
Simply put, we think it sounds like love and fun, and it's everything that we individually and collectively wanted to hear in music. So I think that when you're hearing King, you're really hearing, like,
our soul.
Yeah, our personalities. Like, a lot about us is in that music. And I think that we hope that when people hear it, they feel that too, that it was made all in love. And, you know,
it goes back, honestly, to making music that you want to hear. And so, you know, kind of looking at artists that we might admire, or just referencing not even maybe music, but just life experiences and taking all the good of that. It's a feeling of holding yourself to a standard of, you know, it's kind of, although we're not talking about, you know, any crazy topics in our music, it's a lot of, I feel like, integrity in it and just trying to, you know, stay in the same wavelength as one another and stay true to your soul and just be making music that you really love. And there's just no in between for that. So I think that it's nice also because outside sources are even worrying about how you might sound, or, you know, it's just trying to make it as honest as possible, which kind of takes away, you know, even having to pay attention to how it comes off to other people, or the goodness of it or the badness of it. But it's truly from us and just what we would like to hear. I think our intention with releasing the EP was just to put it out for ourselves and our friends and family. And so once we were there, I think we realized that it's just really up to us to be making the music that we want to make, but not to be caught in so much of, you know, how good or how whatever it might be. It's just, you know, trying to bring full honesty to the plate, you know, from us.
Where did you actually record the original EP?
In my bedroom.
In your bedroom? Literally bedroom soul. So, okay, so you recorded the songs and you released them digitally over the internet. Made a little video first mm-hmm. for the story.
Paris made all of that video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to talk about this, the kind of reaction that, again, has happened in a lot of different places. People hear this music and they kind of flip out for it. And especially, it seems that there have been, you know, some very particular people who've heard it and flipped out for it and have kind of raised awareness of your music. And that kind of thing is like probably every musician's kind of fairy tale beginnings. Like, what has it been like to actually be the musicians who are kind of in that musical fairy tale, except it's for real?
It's really inspiring. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you get inspired every day just by doing what you do, just knowing how far it can go and, you know, how people are receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amber had mentioned, we had just done it kind of for friends and family, and it was just something that we knew to do. We didn't market it. We didn't do any of the, you know, promotion or anything. We really just put it out there. So to see how it came back was just like, we have to keep going. We want to keep going. It's just, you know, everything to us.
Now, in particular, you know, some of the people who've become fans of King, you know, Fonte from Little Brother or Foreign Exchange, I guess these days, was kind of an early adopter mm-hmm. and kind of spread the word to a variety of people, including Questlove and Erykah Badu. But the most interesting kind of connection or fan for King seems to have been Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell me a little bit about how this it seems like it just happened by happenstance with Prince, where it wasn't like somebody told him about it. He found, like, divine providence. He just found your music.
Yeah. He's, you know, I believe he found it on the internet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it was like we put it out on March 1st, and I think by, like, March 18th or something, it had traveled through all those people.
Right. We had heard from everyone.
Yeah.
And it was just organic and awesome. I know a lot of people assume that we've always known Prince because we're from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it was really him meeting us and not knowing anything about us and just saying, like, you know, I really love your music. I've listened to it a bunch. And for us, it was just like, oh, Prince. That's like, he doesn't know. He's like our dad in our head. He's like everybody's musical godfather, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we also grew up in Minneapolis and got to see his influence, like, you know, visually and everything, so.
What was that like, meeting Prince for the first time? It's not a question I get to ask very often, so this is one of the questions I definitely wanted to ask. Like, what was that like?
It's amazing. He's such a visionary and such a strong man, but he's very humble still
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
very genuine and very nice. He came to us, and one of the first things that he kind of mentioned was that, like, don't change anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just take your time with it. This is your art, you know, and I think it was more of him trusting us and trusting our art and our music that said so much more than, you know, any word could ever say, but just, you know, it was an automatic feeling that he really respected and trusted us,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is amazing. You can't ask for more from such a visionary. And he sculpted so many things in the music world, and it's just unbelievable to have someone like Prince telling you, you know, I want you to have the opportunities that, you know, we didn't have.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, that he didn't have.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. You start off recording this music, you know, with family and friends, literally in a bedroom. You put it out and I mean, now Prince is interested in you. How has the difference between kind of the initial recording process, especially when you were making the EP, been different for you in terms of making this album, the full length that's going to be forthcoming? How has that process been different in terms of getting your music together, writing the songs, now with this expectation in some ways?
It's interesting, too, because we made the EP in somewhat of a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew about it to know what it was going to be or to even critique it, for that matter.
Yeah.
Then people heard it, and then we went into making the album. But it didn't change anything for us.
We're not in, like, a studio. We're still
Yeah, we're still.
Did you record the full-length record in your bedroom still?
Well, my former roommate moved out, so we it's a room that's a studio now that is technically a bedroom, yes.
It's brilliant.
But nothing changed on that level.
Uh-huh.
So it's all still completely from us. It's not like, oh, wow, our EP came out now. It's not like we upgraded like to a whole studio or anything. It was still the same creative process as it was in the beginning.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. and getting to write, you know, the songs and everything, you know, there's definitely a bar set. It's like, you know, we worked really hard on those three songs. We're never going to work any less hard on anything else that comes out.
Mm.
And so we just did it until it was perfect, you know. Lots of learning on the go. The EP was my first project I produced. So this is, you know, going back in and learning, you know, from that experience and just growing and until we finished.
When can we expect the full length to come out?
We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
You know, we're still working on the business part of it.
Okay. Are you going to self-release it as well, or is it going to be through a label? Can you even tell us that just yet?
To be determined.
I only ask these questions because we want your music, like we want it yesterday. You know, so like, do you think it's going to be 2013, this year, that we're going to get a full-length record from King?
I want to say yeah.
All right. Because all the work for the record, maybe that's a better way of asking. All the songs are already recorded. You kind of have them in the place that you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've already released the single in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
So the work is kind of, the artistic work is kind of done your end. And it's just figuring out the business end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, I'll accept this answer for right now. I'm not sure if everybody else is going to accept it for a long period of time.
That's why we have in the meantime for in the meantime. Thinking,
we have the greatest fans. You know, our Twitter following and the people that we connect with on Facebook, they're awesome. And a lot of them have been reaching out and just like, you know, we know you guys are working on it. However long it takes, we're excited to hear it. We're just here for you guys. So that's been lovely to read.
Yeah, it's difficult as a fan because you don't want to rush things. You want to be patient, but you also have that anxiousness where, you know, like you always want the artist to be creating music and putting the music out like as soon as you possibly can. And, you know, that's also, I think, a great compliment to you guys that that you have both your fans have both of those dimensions. You know, that they really want to hear the new things, but they're also, you know, take your time, be patient. You have the new record will be coming out forthcoming. Are you guys thinking about doing any touring, performing any shows, especially around Los Angeles?
Yeah, that'll be coming up soon.
Yeah.
We don't have anything solidified yet, but we're so excited to get out there and perform, play with everybody. You know.
I think this summer's going to be great.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so we definitely have some... We don't know when the record will come out, but we do. We have some expectations here to have a little bit more of King this summer, at least here in Los Angeles, maybe in other parts as well. It's part of the reason why this is such a distinct kind of privilege for us to have you here, because we do get to get you guys to perform. Could we get you to perform another couple songs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. We've been talking with Paris, Amber, and Anita of King. And we're going to throw it back to them for a couple more songs here on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Say repeat.
close to mine. And for a while we'll be watching see.
Goodbye, farewell. Goodbye, farewell.
supposed to be. The engine is humming underneath my feet. I'm so far from home. Still a ways to go. Go. The ride is rocky and the road is long. But I know that my soul is never gonna steer me wrong. Gonna master the art.
You just heard a couple more songs from King right here in our studios at KPFK 90.7 FM. I can't thank you enough for coming in. It's really been an amazing, amazing, amazing time.
Thank you.
Three amazings for all of you. Thank you so much for coming in once again.
Thank you so much for having
it's
us.
It's an honor to be here.
It was truly an honor for us to have them here, recorded in April. That interview and performance with LA's very own King. And if you haven't gotten a chance to see them live, they're actually performing several shows. It was kind of a mystery during the interview, but they are actually doing a Monday residency at the Bootleg Bar here in Los Angeles. These shows are free as well, which is astounding. So all Mondays in June, you can catch King here in Los Angeles at the Bootleg Bar. These are sort of early shows. Just after traffic dies down, I suppose. And I think they get on around 8 or 8:30, along with Moses Sumney, who performs earlier. Doors open at 7 over at the Bootleg Bar in Los Angeles. Once again, every single Monday in June, you can catch King. And you'll definitely hear more from them, hopefully this year. In the background is a little bit of a guest DJ set that DJ Spinner did for us as well past year, in November of last year. All on 45s, which was quite a thing to see live. And also a set that's pretty much an hour-long set, something that you can find. Once again, all of these archived on our website, meltingpotblog.com. They're all in the section Be Our Guest, as well as performances from the past couple years, if you missed the first couple years of Melting Pot. You can catch up on all of those performances that we've had here since we moved to KPFK. Oh, and you know, in a while back, I was trying to figure out what is this James Brown version that Spinner was playing. And I still don't know exactly who did it originally, but it's been repressed, kind of like a white label bootleg kind of thing, as a group called Wolfpack, which cannot possibly be the actual group.
But hey, who knows? Maybe one of you out there, you know. Miles from Funky Soul was the one who finally helped me to figure out that one. I was losing sleep over it. I'll play a little bit of it, and then we got a couple messages at the top of the hour, and then we'll get to the interview from Shuggy Otis for our entire second hour of the program today as we celebrate 3 years right here on Radio Powered by the People, KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org.
KPFK Radio presents a special book signing at Amoeba Music in Hollywood, Sunday, June 2nd at 3 p.m. with John Densmore, the drummer of the legendary band The Doors, signing copies of his new book, The Doors Unhinged. KPFK DJ Carlos Nino will be spinning some of John's favorite artists and classic Doors music. A portion of the book signing proceeds will be donated to KPFK, People Powered Radio. Purchase the book at the event to get yours signed. That's drummer John Densmore of The Doors signing copies of his new book, The Doors Unhinged, on Sunday, June 2nd at Amoeba Music, 6400 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood at 3 p.m. For more information, go to kpfk.org, amoeba.com, or call Amoeba Music at 323-245-6400.